Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
And yeah, that was the last NFL champion, but this week we crowned an NBA champion. First time in 50 years for the Milwaukee Bucks. And it's been a lot of fun to see not just the fans in Milwaukee and Wisconsin revel in a new title, but also to see Giannis and PJ Tucker and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and the rest of the Bucks enjoy the fact that they are the last team standing. By the way, Giannis, he's full of inspirational messages, and he wants fans to know that they didn't do this the easy way.
Obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go. I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team. And, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it. We did it, man.
I love this Giannis. This Giannis who doesn't hold back. This Giannis who now lets us see his personality. Producer Dave and I were looking at his Twitter earlier. Oh, boy, it's got some gems on it. So congratulations one more time to Giannis, to Mike Budenholzer, to the Milwaukee Bucks, to their fans. First championship in 50 years. But, you know, there are some other things on the horizon for the Wisconsin fan base. In fact, something that may be in your face in a couple of days. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Friday. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Aaron Rodgers is still contemplating life, potentially, but the Green Bay Packers are scheduled to report for training camp early next week, so we need to figure out whether or not he's going to be there. We're pleased to welcome Leroy Butler, longtime Packers safety, spent his entire career in Green Bay and is part of the all-decade team of the 90s and now does radio, the Big Show Radio Network in not just Milwaukee, but around the state of Wisconsin. Leroy, when you're in Wisconsin, you're talking about sports right now. What's the bigger story? Is it the Bucks winning a championship, first time in a half century, or whether or not the MVP will show up for training camp?
Amy, I'll tell you this about Aaron. I'll be very honest with you, okay? Big Show Radio Network, we're ready in Milwaukee, but we're also covered in Green Bay. And this is what I told people. At this moment, we have a car traveling. The Bucks are driving, okay? Full disclosure. The passenger is the Brewers because they're in first place as well. The Packers are in the back seat. We normally don't see that. So when we put it out there, people say, well, this is old news. It's not that big of a deal. We kind of knew this. Money wasn't the issue. So they got angry with us for even covering it. They were like, we don't even want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. We want to talk about the Bucks. I said, no, it's a relevant story. It's about your quarterback. Nope, we want to talk Bucks. So we just talk Bucks.
Okay, so then let's fast forward a little bit. How quickly do people revert back to Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, 100%. I was always in the minority thinking he'll always be on time. Now, there is a time frame of the draft when this all came out. And then next thing you know, he did the Kenny Mayne interview, which I thought was amazing.
Yes.
And then he did some other stuff, and then Brian Anderson asked him when they played with the golf tournament for charity, you know, about playing the Bears and the opening game against the Saints. And he was, you know, no, as we see, kind of wavering all over the place. And then he said, you know, I'm dealing with a few things, you know, mental health-wise. Okay, fine, you give him some space for that. Now, it almost sounds like to me, Amy, it's a guy that wants to apologize but don't know how. And people really don't want him to apologize for anything. Just say that you want to come back. Tampa Bay brought all 22 starters back. That's your motivation. Beat Tom Brady. You did it on the golf course. Do it on the football field. I think it's a better story.
I would agree with you. I've said from the beginning that there's no way this guy, as competitive as he is, and as much as his fire is still burning, that he wants to go out on a loss as devastating as an NFC championship at home, especially the way that it played out. You said that you've always believed that he's going to be on time. Why is that?
Well, because I think it's a guy that really thinks about legacy. I really do. When you hang around all the stars that he's always hung around, that's what they talk about. Championships, you know, playing with one team, fan base, everything you need. I mean, I really think that at the end of the day, he's going to sit back when he's 50 years old, say, you know what, I had an issue with the Packers, and it was on philosophy. Now, the philosophy won't change. The G never changes, Amy. Players do. And sometimes we get into our feelings as players thinking we run the organization. We don't. But I think how you're talked about really bothers players, especially with social media. They didn't have it when I was playing. But players nowadays care about their image and their legacy. And that, I think, personally, that will drive him to say, hey, listen, just like Russell Wilson, Amy, hey, man, I don't know what y'all are talking about. I never said I want to pick the offensive lineman. I know I get sacked a lot, but I'm here with my guys. Take that route if you want. But to not to be there on the 27th sends a message to the locker room that maybe you think you're bigger than the locker room, and you don't want to do that. And then now, next thing you know, everything comes back on Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, what kind of playbook they're going to have and all that kind of stuff. Listen, Matt LaFleur says one playbook. Now, the plays may change, but it's one playbook. Whoever's that quarterback, you just don't want to send mixed messages to your teammates, and I think that can be a problem.
Leroy Butler played his entire career with the Green Bay Packers, now does...
And as should Aaron. Aaron did the same thing.
He's a Super Bowl champion and, of course, is on Big Show Radio there in the state of Wisconsin, so there's plenty to talk about. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned his teammates, and he's always talked so publicly about how much he loves his teammates, especially this past year, as disappointing as it ended. Are you surprised then that he hasn't come out publicly and given some type of resolution to all of the speculation?
You know what? He may have told some of the guys, but if you ever heard of plausible deniability, in other words, you don't tell your guys anything so you don't have to worry about them leaking anything or maybe even getting in a pretzel trying to explain everything. You basically do, hey, you support him as a player. But at the same time, I got to get ready for a Super Bowl. Whoever's in the uniform we're going to play with. But we love Aaron Rodgers, of course. But it does put your guys in a tough spot. It really does. Because you don't want to pick between the team or Aaron Rodgers, especially Devontae Adams, if you're trying to get a huge extension. So you kind of got to just, hey, listen, when he gets here, we're ready to go. At the meantime, sort of what Donald Driver went through with Brett Favre and then transitioning into Aaron Rodgers. He was a Brett Favre guy, but at the same time, he knew he had to catch passes from Aaron Rodgers, which would be Jordan Love. So it kind of puts his teammates in a tough spot.
When you think about the Packers moving forward, they were 13-3 the past two seasons, had the top seed in the NFC last year, had the bye. I know it ended in a disappointing way. Still, this was one heck of a campaign by them, and they were one win away from the Super Bowl. A lot of these guys are back. Devontae Adams, one of the best receivers in the NFL. With Aaron Rodgers, let's assume he shows up on time, Leroy. How do you like their 2021 prospects?
Great question. And I think we don't get a chance to talk about that. That's why it's a great question, Amy. Because this is a good team. I mean, take the quarterback out of it. This team with 17 games now, they can win 8 or 9 games even if Jordan Love is average, because they got a top-10 defense that they improved. Now, David Bakhtiari probably won't be there on time, but he'll be back at some point. So they have one of the best offensive lines. Mm-hmm. They got a top-5 running back. And as you pointed out correctly, one of the top receivers. And Matt LaFleur would never get the credit as being a great coach, because every time he wins, they say Aaron Rodgers did it. But Matt LaFleur is a very good coach. So their team is pretty good, especially they play in the North, let's be honest. I mean, you got Detroit, you got Chicago, they're all over the place. Minnesota sometimes can show that they can take over the division, but hasn't done it as long as Aaron Rodgers has been there. So they're going to be in the playoffs, I think, because it takes 8 to 9 games to get into the playoffs. And this is a very good team. And I know what people are rolling their eyes. They're, oh, you're a Packer, so you're supposed to say that. No, this is a good team. You can see for yourself, 26 games in 2 years is pretty good.
You were an all-pro safety, and there's a lot of video out there where we can see the sacks, the interceptions, part of the all-decade team in the 90s. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you have to figure out a way to try to contain Devontae Adams with your backfield if you're opposing him. How do you start to contain a talent like that?
Well, I would take away what he's good at, and that's getting separation. You know, he has the best feet in the National Football League. So it'll be hard to go up, have a guy go up there and jam him unless you're Deion Sanders, you know. So what you would try to do is take away what his strengths are, and that's separation. I would get a guy between him and the football. And whether or not you have a safety deep, that's fine. But try to get between him and the football and make him work. Mm. It's just like any basketball player, even Jordan. I mean, you make it tough for him, but he still may make a shot, but just make it tough for him. So I think that's the one way you can slow him down. But for the most part, if you look at touchdowns, no one's been able to stop him inside the red zone because they're playing too much one-on-one. And even when they double him, one guy gets to peeping in the backfield. So you need two disciplined guys to take him away and force you to use the other receivers to beat you.
It's on my bucket list to attend a game at Lambeau in the snow, Leroy, but I did have a chance to go 3 years ago in August to a preseason game, and I got to tell you, I was blown away by the number of people that showed up for a preseason game and the noise that they brought there at Lambeau. What makes the Green Bay Packers fan base so special?
Since 1919, okay, they're the only team that has to show their books, their financial records, okay, because it's owned by the fans. Mm-hmm. They could have gave up the team, but the city people in the city said, no, we want our team. So they kept it. But if you think about it, through the 80s, Amy, they weren't very good, let's be honest. And then it started to build some momentum. 25 years ago this year, we won Super Bowl 31. I remember beating Carolina, and I saw a sign that says 30 years of misery has ended. Okay. Not to mention it's 25,000 people waiting for tickets, even in a pandemic.
Yes.
Okay? They're still waiting. And they love the fact that they can wear their G, and it separates them from any franchise because it's owned by the people. They're the only team that can say that. So it is a very special place. And if you ever need tickets when there's snow, you hit me up and you got them. No problem.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you, sir. So I got to tell you, that's another reason why I believe Aaron Rodgers doesn't really want to go anywhere else. Because he's worshipped in Green Bay, Leroy. He's worshipped there. He will never be treated as well or treated like the guy who walks on water anywhere else as much as in Green Bay. He's got it so good there.
That's why I love coming on your show. That's a great point. If you go somewhere else, Denver or whatever, play along, that fan base, they're thinking you're there to win a championship. If you don't win it, you can't reverse it. But if you're with the Packers, you could be 1-4 in championship games and they still love you.
Yes.
And you can't, that's the kind of stuff your new wife is probably telling him, Shailene Woodley, say, hey, wait a minute now. I know you got a good thing with me, but it's even better if the both of us come back to Green Bay and let me with you win a championship. This would be the greatest book to your life story. That would be great. So that's what I'm hoping and praying, and I think it will happen. But you're right about the fan base. This is by far the best.
4-time Pro Bowler and All-Pro at safety and spent his whole career with the Packers. So he knows all about that Packer love. Leroy Butler is with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You have received so much support from the fan base and really social media too. I've seen it in your bid to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I know that these past 2 years have ended with not the knock on the door that you were hoping, but how much does it mean to you personally, Leroy, to have so many people behind you and so many people who want to see you ultimately achieve that honor?
I would say it like this. African-American from the project, single family home, growing up disabled, in special ed classes. My teachers were my heroes. For me to make it would be amazing. And then my nephew said out of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000, you're the only first team all decade member not in. Last could be almost like getting in first. So I think it'll happen soon, Amy. And if for every parent that's going through a kid with disabilities, I will represent them. I will represent the African Americans in the inner city and the projects like I was to say you couldn't have dreams. Yes, you can, and you can accomplish them. And it will be fun because I want to show people that you can be in the Hall of Fame and still be in the community and go to Pick and Save or wherever and be a normal person. I can't wait for that to happen and prove that to people.
When you were young and you were going through this disability, and there's many articles written about your challenges and your struggles, at that point, did you ever think that you'd be the guy that came up with the Lambo leap?
No, I didn't think that. But I did tell my mom as I was transitioning from a wheelchair, I said, Mom, you know what? I saw something on television that I would love to be when I grow up. And she said, what's that? And this was right at the church because I'm from the South. We go to church like 11 days a week. And she said, well, what is that? I said, I want to play in the NFL. It's the ultimate team sport because I got a disability. I think I'll need help from my teammates. And she kind of told me, as parents do, you can do whatever you want to do. But I really meant it. And it just seemed like to me it got emotional when I got through high school and then Coach Bobby Bowden, you know, giving me a scholarship when I was a Prop 48. That means he could have passed on me. And then getting drafted in the second round to come to the most storied franchise, like, you know, the Green Bay Packers, it's going to be a great story. And my book that people can even pick up on my website, LaRoyButlerInc.com, you know, from wheelchair to the Lambo leap is a great story, but it's not luck. I just believe that God gave me the ability to really believe that he put me on here for an example to show kids you can be this guy. And I'm looking forward to that one day. It's going to be so much fun.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Leroy. And yes, an inspirational story and one that people can really latch onto regardless of age. So a lot of time on football. I love hearing your personal story, but the Bucks, they are NBA champions. Amazing week for Wisconsin sports fans. Now that the dust has settled a little bit and the parade has been thrown, what will you remember about this run to an NBA championship?
It hasn't happened since 1971, and we absolutely love the fact that Giannis is our leader.
I mean, yes.
he is everything about it. And we love the fact that he wasn't in Space Jams and that he doesn't have friends with all the other NBA players and people have a problem with him shooting threes. And people, we love that because we feed off of that. That's why we didn't get upset when, you know, some of the people say Milwaukee may not be the best city to host the finals. Well, guess what? They're forced to cover it.
I got to imagine, as someone who made his living on defense, that you must be really proud of these Bucks, that two of the top plays of the finals are the block and the steal. Those two highlights will be immortalized in Wisconsin sports history, the block and the steal.
Again, you're platinum. You think about it. Giannis was a top 15 pick. He was 100 pounds. They took a chance on him. He has grown into two-time MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. Holiday. Amy, they gave up a lot to get him, a lot of draft picks and stuff like that, then turned around, gave him a max deal. Chris Middleton, people would never have him at a household name, two-time All-Star. It just everything fit perfectly. And when he stole the ball and he trusted his teammate, Holiday trusted Giannis, you'll be where you're supposed to be if I allow this. When two players come together like that, nothing is better. And that block on Aiden, that Dave Phoenix has always did these lobs, you know, it always worked. For Giannis to go up, okay, and to block that is just truly amazing. I'm hoping they put that on a shirt somewhere. I want to buy those two plays. And I'm just so excited. You're right. As a defender, I love that.
Last thing before I let you go, what changes in your life as an athlete when you win a championship, Leroy?
Great question.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I've never been asked that before. Well, your brand changes because you're a Super Bowl champion. But put that aside, you're immortalized. It's almost like having a statue in your head. You've done something that hasn't been done, in my case, for 30 years. But for the Bucks, since 1971, are you kidding me? People, is where were you when this happened? Dot, dot, dot. That's when you know it's iconic. And you don't have to be Giannis. You can be Pat Connaughton. If you won a championship in the smallest market, are you kidding me? It wasn't Brooklyn. It wasn't Phoenix. It wasn't Atlanta.
It wasn't Los Angeles.
It wasn't Philly. Right. It's amazing. It would be truly amazing, especially in this state. Anytime you win a championship, I mean, you're almost like a superhero, but you can't fly, but you're a superhero.
I love it. Leroy Butler played his entire career with the Packers, so he certainly understands how it is in Green Bay
and the
rest of Wisconsin. And yeah, Aaron Rodgers, but the Bucks, really, as a member of the all-90s decade team for the Pro Football Hall of Fame and part of that that Packers great that helped to win a Super Bowl. It's been so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. I hope that you will join us again, Leroy.
I got to always come on the best show. Are you kidding me? You have your producer just call, and I'm back.
Yes. Boom. Also, can we please write it down somewhere that Leroy said if I ever wanted tickets to snow football at Lambeau Field, I can just call him up for tickets? I've never done that before. I've gone on media passes and used my role to cover games, but I've never actually asked anyone to get me some tickets. Huh. But snow at Lambeau Field. Leroy is awesome, absolutely awesome. His story about being in a wheelchair, ending up in the NFL, the fact that the last 2 years he's been a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame but has not gotten the knock on the door from David Baker. But he's sure he's going to get in, just like he was sure when he was coming out of his wheelchair with the club feet. He had surgery when he was little. Gets out of his wheelchair and tells his mom he's going to play in the NFL, but he's going to need some help from his teammates because he's got a disability. I mean, what foresight from a young boy. And now he represents this incredible journey, but also from the projects and from young people who have disabilities. There's so much inspiration they can draw. And he wants to be that person who inspires. I just absolutely love talking to him, not to mention he's really funny. And he's sure that Aaron Rodgers not only is going to show up for training camp, but actually wants to apologize. Haven't heard that from anybody else, but you heard it first from Leroy Butler. iconic Packers safety, longtime defender of Green Bay. 855-212-4227. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Getting set for the opening ceremonies in Tokyo. If you missed our conversation with Steve Futterman of CBS News, he was in the stadium as they were rehearsing and getting prepared for the opening ceremonies you'll see on TV. Actually, they start 6:55 a.m. Eastern time, 3:55 a.m. Pacific time on NBC. So it was really good to catch up with him from Tokyo.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The pitch to Renfroe. Swing and a line drive into right field. Back on it, Allen. It is deep. Tagging at third is Bogarts. Red Sox are going to win the game. Throw is wide. 5-4 the final. And in one of the craziest innings you'll ever see, the Red Sox walk the Yankees off.
And a high fastball, a check swing, the ruling. No swing. It came down to that. Ed Hickox, the umpire at first, said no swing. And Dave Roberts comes out screaming from the dugout, taking his hat off. He runs across the infield to go right after Ed Hickox. The pitch to the left-handed hitter. Swing, line drive to right field, and in front of the diving McKinney. Base hit. Vossler scores right behind him, Estrada. He scores. It's 5-3 Giants. Incredibly. Lightning has struck twice.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We don't want to forget about baseball. And man, a couple of dramatic endings on the diamond on Thursday. Third consecutive blown save for Kenley Jansen, and the Dodgers still have a Jensen problem. It's been this way now for years. Their bullpen has been their Achilles heel. And with some of their major pieces not in the lineup, they can't really afford to be blowing games like this, especially against the Giants, who are above them in the NL West standings. But third consecutive blown save by Kenley Jansen, and the Giants come from behind yet again. And as you hear with John Miller on the Giants radio network, Kenley Jansen had the bases loaded in the ninth inning, and he throws a pitch that appeared to be a strike because it was a check swing. And they appeal to first base. The first base umpire says, no, it wasn't a swing. And so Dave Roberts comes out. He screams and yells. He gets chucked. And then the Giants score a couple more runs. And as they say, they have four in the ninth. And Jansen blows up again. So I don't know what they're going to do. Dave Roberts has just talked about how disappointed he is in Dodgers fans there in L.A. for booing Jansen. But that's three blown saves in a row against your top competition, not to mention your bitter rival. And then with the Yankees, Red Sox, I mean, these games are almost always bizarre, are they not? The Yankees score in the 10th on a Brett Gardner sacrifice fly, so they take the lead top of the inning. Bottom of the inning, the Red Sox come from behind on a wild pitch to score a run, and then their own sacrifice fly from Hunter Renfroe. And so the Sox end up surprising the Yankees in the bottom of the 10th. And it's just never a dull moment when those teams get together. And usually division rivalries can be a lot of fun with fireworks and kind of those jaw-dropping moments. Like, what just happened? Cardinals beat the Cubs again. So here we are, the dog days of summer, and we're getting closer to the trade deadline. So these games could have major implications for which teams become buyers and which teams become sellers by the end of the month, which is only 8 days away. It's Friday, by the way. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up Saturday on CBS, an afternoon of sports begins on the court at 1 p.m. Eastern. That's 10 a.m. Pacific. Two more intense battles in the Big Three that's just restarted after the pandemic. Coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, so immediately following the Big Three. Off to the golf course, live PGA Tour action at the 3M Open. Last I saw the standings, Ricky Fowler was on top there. So it's a Saturday full of sports on CBS. Plus the Olympics, the opening ceremonies actually begin live as opposed to dead. They begin in Tokyo in about 90 minutes. If you missed my conversation with Steve Futterman of CBS News, he joined us from Tokyo earlier. You can check out our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. But also, we've had some really cool Olympic conversations with Vashti Cunningham, the high jumper who is Randall Cunningham's daughter, and she's a gold medal favorite in the high jump. So she'll be heading to Tokyo soon, right now still in Las Vegas. And then we also talked to Jessica Mendoza, who's covering softball and is emotional over the sport's return to the Olympics. And this is something that we talked about over the course of the week. Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday will be riding on the same charter flight to Tokyo. I knew this was going to happen. There was no way USA Basketball was going to put them on separate flights. So Devin Booker's in Seattle. I guess that's where the flight is taking off from. He has to wait for Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday to get there today. Because why? Well, they were celebrating with a championship parade. So Booker is already in Seattle. Middleton and Holiday are flying there today, Friday. And then they're jumping on the same private plane and off to Tokyo they go. Do you think they sit close to one another and talk about the series? Or do you think they all spread out? Or Booker's at the back of the plane. Actually, I think if you win the championship, you get to pick. So they're at the back of the plane and he's at the front of the plane, or...
I can see the Bucks guys celebrating, just talking about the championship loud enough so that Booker can overhear it.
Oh.
And Booker's going to have some big old headphones on, I'm sure.
That's true. Noise-canceling headphones. Championship noise-canceling headphones. Now, it's not as though they were at each other's throats the whole time. I wouldn't imagine there would be any animosity, except Drew Holiday was very often matched up with Devin Booker, so I can imagine they're not anxious to hug it out.
That was going to be my point, actually, is that Drew Holiday, I know Booker scored a lot of points, but when he was guarding Booker,
yes,
you know, he probably got under his skin a little bit there.
0-for-7 in the closeout game from three-point land. That's a plane I would definitely like to have a camera on just so I could see what was happening. They are going to play, though. They're heading to Tokyo. They're joining the Olympic team, and they're all scheduled to be in Japan by Saturday. Get this. Team USA opens on Sunday against France. So we'll see whether or not they're in the game. Greg Popovich had no idea if they'd be ready to play. Who even knows if they've had any sleep? The Bucks, I mean.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Come on!
Click, boom!
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom!
I just laid down the A-law.
Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
Boom!
So we got a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back. It's a grand slam! They're going in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. Do you believe it?
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom.
Booker, who takes a three. No good. Tucker with the rebound. The Suns are not going to foul. It's been a 50-year journey. Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. Let the celebration begin.
Milwaukee, we did it, baby. We did it. Man, this is our city.
We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs.
You know, people told me I can't make free throws. I made my free throws tonight. And I'm a freaking champion. Yeah, just believe, man. It can be done.
It can be done. It can be done. One of my favorite comments from Giannis postgame. But I got to tell you, as much as I love Giannis, and he has been so entertaining, such a breath of fresh air from the NBA and for championship celebrations, nothing tops PJ Tucker. You heard a very small snippet there from Thursday's championship parade, but I know on this Friday morning, nothing works better than a little wake-up call with PJ Tucker. So let me set the scene for you. After you hear the final call with Ted Davis on the Bucks Radio Network, love his call. And I always wonder, some play-by-play announcers do, some play-by-play announcers do not script their final call, just in case. Now, often the games go down to the wire and you can't script anything, but in many cases, there are announcers who will take in a script for the final call, the championship call that will be replayed forever, and will be replayed in such a way that you want it to be perfect, right? It's your shining moment, maybe your one and only moment for the entire world to hear what you have to say. And so I don't have any issue with announcer scripting, but let's take a game that is one on the last second shot as a, you know, as kind of a contrast. You remember Chris Jenkins, who hit the buzzer beater for Villanova against North Carolina in the NCAA championship game in, I think it was 2016. Anyway, when he did that, there's no way to script that. You don't have a script that gives you the perfect call. And still, you have to rely on your instincts. And Kevin Kugler nailed it, of course. And in the premature confetti getting bombed all over the stadium in Houston, it was pretty amazing. So you got two different ways your games could end. But I suppose it is smart to be prepared so you're not caught tongue-tied or unawares. And Ted Davis killed that call, the final call. So lots of fun stuff from Giannis after the fact. And then, of course, the victory parade on Thursday. And there was plenty of alcohol flowing. I don't know if it was Tom Brady's tequila. That's his choice. But PJ Tucker, he was my favorite when he got up with the Larry O'Brien trophy. Not only was he very affectionate and hugging it and kissing it, but he ended up spewing would be the more accurate word, spewing champagne all over it. So Drew Holiday didn't even want to touch it until he had wiped it off. Anyway, this is a fired up PJ Tucker.
You know, it's crazy. That's what everybody, like, when I came here, they're like, yo, you got to, like, show, like, you got to be the dog. And I'm like, man, we got dogs. Like, they just say, like, we, like, I got here, like, we already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs. And we going to be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs! You can't make this up, man. These dudes, this organization, what we put together, you can't make this up. This ain't, nothing matter. Except what's going on right here, right now. That's all that matters. They say what they want. But they gotta say we champs.
We got dogs. I love that. That is immortal. Immortal PJ Tucker. He owned the parade. Yes, it was cool to see all the other guys, and I'm glad they're happy. It's to the victors go the spoils. Giannis making fun of those people who criticize his free throw shooting, and rightfully so during the regular season, but he was on point, saving the best for last in the finals. He shot very well. And so there was one moment during the parade where he held his pose for what felt like 30 seconds. He didn't move. He just held the pose and then shot the ball into the stand. So pretty amazing. I'm happy for them, really happy for the fans. I always enjoy it when it's a new fan base that can feel that unadulterated joy and that euphoria over a championship, and it carries you for a while. Let's ask producer Dave, because the Jets have gotten to the AFC championship in his lifetime, but they have not won a Super Bowl in his lifetime, right? I don't know exactly how old you are, but I'm pretty sure it happened before you.
I was not alive for okay. The Super Bowl, no.
That's what I thought. All right, so when you think, just allow your mind to wander here for a bit, of the Jets winning a Super Bowl, how long would that carry you through, say, some bad seasons? And here I'll just put myself on the hot seat. The Broncos last won Super Bowl 50. It's my team that I've loved since I was 13 years old. But they have not made the playoffs now for 5 years, and it's been brutal. It's been a revolving door of quarterbacks since Peyton Manning stepped away. Sometimes it's cringy. I'll just be honest. It's cringy to watch them, especially in the division where the Chiefs now reside. But they won a Super Bowl a few years ago. So, okay, it can't be too hard on them. I'm getting to that point, though. How long would a Jet Super Bowl carry you before you got back to grousing and complaining about your team?
Life. For life.
Seriously?
I'm not kidding.
Come on, man.
I'm not kidding. I'm not just saying that. And maybe my perspective would change after 12 years, say, of garbage beyond the Super Bowl. Maybe
garbage.
My perspective would change. But as of right now, assuming that they're not going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon.
But why would you assume that?
I think they're
it's the minimum, NFL.
They're minimum 3 to 4 years away from competing on at that level. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it's sooner. At least 10 years. At least. But right now I'm going to say life because I don't know when it's going to happen.
Have faith, man. I thought you loved the hire of Robert Saleh.
I do. I love everything that's happened inside the organization outside of the pick of the quarterback.
Oh, well,
don't think he's going to be good. That's just one guy who thinks that. And I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too, because that would stink after everything that they put into making sure he was their pick. And it would be a rough way for Robert Saleh to start his tenure with the Jets. That definitely would put them behind the eight ball. But I'll give you an example of a recent team that won a Super Bowl, not my team, because I was speaking as a fan there of the Broncos. But looking at it from the outside, the Eagles won after the 17 season, correct? And Doug Peterson has already lost his job. So not only did they win the 17 Super Bowl, then the year after, they made this incredible run into the late stages, the final month of the regular season, got into the playoffs as a wild card, beat the Bears on the road. That was the Cody Parkey game, if I remember correctly. And that equity didn't last very long. It lasted 18, 19, 20, 20. It lasted 3 more seasons, and he was out. And Carson Wentz is gone, too, though we know he wasn't part of those playoff runs.
I think it's all about the fan base, about perspective, about what you expect from the franchise. If you're a team like the Patriots, obviously Tom Brady is gone and you're not sure when the winning comes back. But as a Jets fan, you look at the organization. Yes, back-to-back AFC championships. I thought they had a chance one of those years. But then
defense.
What has it been defense. Since then? It's been a dumpster fire, to put it nicely. So I'll take
Mark
one.
Didn't Mark Sanchez just take a job as a broadcaster with, was it Fox?
I'd have to look up where he went, but yeah.
That's your boy.
I believe so. Well, I don't follow his career that closely.
I'm just saying he was the quarterback.
I lost him somewhere around third string quarterback in Minnesota.
Or Denver. No, it was Denver. He went to Denver. Then he won the job. Then he lost the job in like the span of 2 weeks.
That's where I lost it.
Oh, we're so fickle as fans. I could see that. If you are a long-suffering fan base, your championship, it'll carry you through 10 bleak years or so. You hope they don't immediately follow. I would think in the case of Wisconsin, yes, they have high expectations for the Packers. They'd like to see what the Bucks do as an encore, but this one's going to carry them for a while. It's got wings. It's going to carry them.
We got dogs.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Sunday night after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
All right, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.